I just love the seven connections. I love how Steve articulates that, how we can get encouraged that in all the tapestry of our lives and all of our connections, God is at the center, and a walk with God is at the center. I want to turn our attention to specifically focus on the home discipleship connections. That's connection 1, 2, and 3. And look at how those connections function in our leadership as we are called into ministry to minister to others. So as we look at the home discipleship connections, in a lot of ways, this also helps us focus on our own life and see how these connections can function. I'm going to start by giving us a snapshot from the 1800s. So here's an writer of the 1800s about Christianity, J.R. Miller, and he talks this way. All ordinances of Christian worship, and specifically he's talking about connections 1, 2, and 3, seasons of prayer and devotion, hours of communion with God, are quiet resting places. Far more than we are apt to realize do we need these silent times in our busy lives, needing them all the more the busier the life may be. What's fascinating to me about J.R. Miller's comments is that this was written in the late 19th century. And they thought that their lives were busy. So he was trying to encourage believers to get back to their home discipleship connections. That the fuel of a walk with God is having quiet time with the Lord, devotions, having the sense of intimacy and feeding that intimacy. You know, we've talked about what a walk with God is all about. You know, it's about that talking. It's about that listening. It's about making that real and present in our life, that we talk, listen repeatedly in love and obedience to God in our personal life, in our marriages if we're married, or maybe it's with another friend that we know that we can share our walk with, or it's in the family. If we have children at home, or we have an opportunity with grandchildren, so that talking is prayer, listening is Bible reading, the repeatedly is the habit. So let's talk about some of the issues of home discipleship. And I loved what David Burns talked about in the book Dangers, Trolls, and Snares, Resisting the Hidden Temptations of Ministry, Mastering Ministry Pressure Points. Anyway, he said, imagine, and this is again talking about walking with God, the habits of walking with God. Imagine, he writes, that every time you sit down to eat, you thought about all the food you would eat, would have to eat during your lifetime. Imagine a huge room with tons of meat, vegetables, Twinkies and Fritos, and thousands of gallons of ice cream. And before you die, you've got to consume every bite. Just the sight of all of it makes me sick, we would say. This one little meal is a drop in the bucket. There's no point of eating it. The secret is, of course, we eat only one meal at a time. It's amazing how much we can consume in a lifetime if we eat one meal at a time. In a lot of ways, a walk with God is a feeding on the Lord. You know, the metaphor of communion, that we partake of the bread and the wine, is talking about that the Lord fills our spirits. When we do that in church, we believe the Holy Spirit is present. We believe the Spirit of Christ is present when we do that. When we do home communion, we are talking about the same types of things, that the Lord is there with us. As we're walking with the Lord by opening His Word in by prayer, if you look at just one little piece of it, you'd say, oh, that's just one little piece of it. But what about a lifestyle? My dad recently passed away, and it was his habit since I was a child and up to 99 years old that he would open the Word of God at his meals and pray and have that secret time, that quiet time, that beautiful time with the Lord. Often he would sing, and when we worship through song, it's again very prayerful, and sometimes songs teach us, so we listen to God's Word. But if little by little that's our lifestyle, over a big period of time, the grace of the Lord, His Holy Spirit shows up in dynamic ways that we could not imagine. So how do we get to a real life understanding of this? Well, in a lot of ways, the problem comes with the effective management of priorities. And we have to figure out how to prioritize our life so that we can actually do what we want to do, because we are busy. There's so many issues that hurt us and plug us in terms of just finding time. We have to figure out how to do this, that it's sustainable. You know, I've noticed, you know, many times that people will want a walk with God, and they just can't seem to manage that. Listen to what it says in Matthew 25:20-21. Master, he said, you have entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more, as Master replied. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. You know, a walk with God, it is an incredible thing. It's a little thing. But just because it is a little thing doesn't mean that we can easily do it. But when we get this little thing prioritized as a minister, as a Christian leader, it changes everything about our life. In some ways, we understand that with eating, the little thing of eating food is necessary for us to be healthy, to have strength. But the little thing of feeding on the Lord, of having His Word opened, of opening our hearts down, it might be a little thing, but it has huge implications. Now, when we manage this little thing, one thing that will become clear is that it will not be necessarily easy. And we need to be aware of this thing called law and grace. So anytime you want to make changes in life, you are tacking between the two shores of law and grace. Now, let me talk about that a little bit. You know, I've gone sailing with Steve Elzinga, Professor Elzinga, in British Columbia. And when there's rocks on both sides of some of those waters in British Columbia, and when you're tacking a sailboat, you have to go toward one rock, but before you get too close, you got to tack the other way. And before you get too close, you got to tack the other way. In a lot of ways, a new habit, when you want to change something, when you want to manage something, like a habit of reading the Bible, prayer, quiet time, worship time, in a lot of ways, it's like tacking between law, one side of the shore, to grace, on the other side of the shore. And why? Well, you know, I just find this so interesting, that the one side is law. You know, that is, we need to do it. It's important. But if we get too enamored, too into law, too preoccupied with law, and all we do is just do it for law, and it's activism, soon, if we succeed, we almost become legalistic, and we hit into the rocks of legalism. On the other hand, when we realize that, you know, we failed, and sometimes that happens in law, you fail. And you know what happens if you fail in law too much? You can get so discouraged, forget the whole thing, I'm not going to do it. So what you need to do is turn the sailboat a little toward grace and say, you know, I'm just human. It's been a bad time. Oh, Lord, please forgive me. I am not giving up. I am not giving up. I'm going to stay in this for the long haul. You're able to bring forgiveness of yourself to the table. And that's what happens when you're developing a habit. So many habits are this tack, so to speak, between law and grace. And it's having the ability to be able to manage your habits so that you understand this and don't give up and yet keep going and don't get caught up too much in law where you get frustrated, but don't get caught up too much in grace. Does it really matter? Well, it doesn't really matter in the big picture. God loves you. You're not going to like try to impress God. He already loves you. This is about managing a very important habit. And when you manage a very important habit, it is difficult to do. So what it's about then is fighting to get good habits. The fact is, bad habits are caught easily. Good habits are planted and cultivated. You know, I find that as being a pastor, you know, as a minister, and you're ministering to people, and I am always amazed at how quickly bad habits develop. You don't even have to think about it, and a bad habit develops. Whereas a good habit, it takes effort and work, and there will be tests to those good habits. And why? You know, I've thought through that. Why are good habits so difficult to acquire? Well, I believe that good habits are going against the grain of just the flesh. They're going against the grain of busy life. Life comes at us. A good habit is something that we prioritize. We want this, and by God's grace and His empowerment, is something that we can move into. Because there is no doubt about it, there is great power in our habits. Now, let's talk about that in terms of connection three, family. Now, for generations upon generations, the dinner table used to be the centerpiece of family life. But in recent years, especially in Western nations, fast food was injected everywhere. So the dinner table was no longer the centerpiece of family life. Now, what Christian families did is they attached family, Bible reading, prayer, even singing to the habit of eating. My own childhood is an example of that. You know, it did not matter what day it was. We would eat at the same time. We would open the Bible after we ate. We would pray after we ate. And many times, there would even be times of family worship. There was a memorization component in my childhood. Like all of a sudden, my dad would say, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we would do that. When I raised my own children, we had habits connected to our dinner table where we would memorize scripture. We even were part of the church that Dr. Fettes is still pastoring, that there were a once a month hymn sings, we called them, where families gathered together to recite the passages that they memorized while doing their home discipleship in their homes, you know, such as doing a memory verse at the dinner table. All of these habits in the past were connected, these spiritual habits, these home discipleship habits were connected to the dinner. When those dinner habits over a long period of time kept multiplying, an effect was amazing. Biblical literacy. People were exposed to the Word of God, exposed to a relationship with God. Now, I understand, like any habit, for some people, they were just sitting, not paying attention. But for many people, and for a good portion, even if younger people were not really paying that much attention, the Word of God was being proclaimed every day, and that habit was extremely powerful. You cannot force someone to have a relationship with God, but we're called to proclaim the gospel and proclaim the Word of God. And if we attach it to a family habit like eating together, that becomes very powerful because the Word of God will not return void. Now, there are other habits that are regular repeated activities. Daily common habits, going to bed, waking up, brushing teeth, starting school, checking email, and others. What's interesting is to ask yourself, could I connect a walk with God with some of these habits? Like going to bed, for years and years, my wife and I read devotionals right before we'd gone to bed. Then we opened the Word. We've changed it up over the years. And always ending that time before we shut the light off with prayer. Together, prayer. Now, what's interesting about that is I've seen some studies that have shown that when couples pray together, these couples will get closer and closer to the Lord and closer to one another. Isn't that interesting? I remember years ago I worked for the Bible League, and the Bible League actually, there was a study that showed that the divorce rate is like 5% for couples who actually pray together. So that's tying connection to habit to going to bed. Now, what that does is incredible implications. If you go to bed together, you typically feel closer, and if the Lord is there, you feel even closer yet. Many times it helps with sexual intimacy because you're to bed at the same time, you're in that beautiful space together. It also then helps in just feeling of closeness, and the Lord is there. So, you know, these habits are really, really important. Now let's go the opposite way. What if you brushed your teeth like 1 o'clock one day, 5 o'clock another day? What if you did various things in various ways and you didn't even pay attention to setting them into habits? What would your life be like? But habits form important milestones for us. For instance, if I know I'm brushing my teeth when I wake up, when I go to bed, that's a habit. So I connect good teeth care with going to bed or waking up in the morning. So it's the same with God. What habits, if we want to like move to a closer walk with God, when will we do journaling? Is it connected to a habit? So these become very vital as we're seeking to grow in very busy schedules. You know, I find it interesting that a lot of times we don't really do reality checks in our life. Okay, so let's do a very busy schedule reality check right now. So what in my schedule is making me busy but not productive? So what's happening to you right now? Are there certain habits that contribute to my staying too busy? Are there big picture things that need to be addressed? And that could be such things as, you know, do I have a relational issue with God? Am I bitter towards somebody else? Do I have help in deciding my priorities? Sometimes we just need to ask our mentor or get a mentor or ask the pastor or ask our spouse for help. Do I need help in managing my priorities? These are all vitally important things to think about. You know, a lot of times we do the same thing we don't want to do because we just don't address the plan to do what we want to do. In managing our home discipleship connections are extremely important. If we do not manage our home discipleship connections, life will manage our life for us. You know, I was just thinking about the Word of God on this, and we have many, many passages in the Word of God that encourage us with getting disciplined. Proverbs 27, verse 18, "He who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit. He who looks after his master will be honored." You know, what's this talking about? It's talking about how the bottom line is it does take effort. It does take some work, some attention for us to be able to, you know, get the goal we want. If we want to have a goal to walk with God, it takes a little effort. The issues in your personal life are great training for your ministry leadership. I love that passage, 1 Timothy 3, 4 and 5. He must manage his family well and see that his children will obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his family, his own family, how can he take care of God's church? What I love about that is it really talks about how personal management, that's management of connection three, family, where the Lord, where his word is the center of our family. Now, I will tell you, you have no guarantees that each child will walk after the Lord when they're 14, 15, 16 years old. But generally, it is true that your children do walk with the Lord. I grew up, my parents opened the Word of God, and, you know, at a young age, I've walked with the Lord. But some of my siblings had different paths than that, but in general, over time, the Word of God was central. And I believe that with my own children, I see great amount of love for the Lord that was developed when our children were young. Now, life, you may have it, and I have it too, where people have different spots in their relationship with the Lord. But when they're at home, is the Bible the central feature of that devotional life that you want to place in your home in prayer? And we'll see the Holy Spirit has a time and a place. And even if one of your children or some of your children have walked away, know that the Word of God was planted. Now, some of you may have raised your children and you did open the Word of God in prayer and all of that, and that's fine. I mean, now's the time maybe you have grandchildren. Or now's the time to strengthen your own connection. Maybe you're married. Strengthen your own connection. I understand. This is not one of those things where some easy formula fits. But it's about culture. It's about habits that increase your closeness with the Lord. And at first, it can be kind of difficult to get those habits in your life. But as you struggle and figure out how to organize your life around connection one, a personal walk with God, connection two, if you're married, to pray together, open the Bible together, connection three, if you have family at home, how to open the Word of God, how to sing, how to memorize, all of those things, it takes some time, and it's not necessarily easy to accomplish, but that becomes part of a culture that deepens biblical literacy, that deepens walks with God, and that opens the door for great possibilities with the Lord. Now I'll tell you, it can be difficult, and I understand that. So let's get real practical with these home discipleship connections. So write down connection 1, 2, and 3 on a piece of paper. Decide how you're going to do talking, listening with God repeatedly in each of these connections. Kind of get a sustainable plan and actually attempt to do it. Now, I will tell you that if you were to accomplish this, let's say you wanted to do a family plan or a personal plan or a marriage plan, and let's say you failed, or let's say you got one time of success in the week with the family. Praise the Lord, because the week before you had zero success with that, possibly. The goal here is not to try to, you know, make your life miserable. The goal is to move in a direction, get a plan. It truly is about what you want. And make the plan fun, especially for, you know, home discipleship connection 3. If it's just a drag and you keep calling attention to how unhappy you are, you're trying to do this whole plan and it's just so difficult, and then you have an argument in the family. You know, a lot of ways, figure out ways to get this into your life where you're sort of having fun with it. Now, here's an example. So you have some teenagers at home, great, or young people, grade school. Well, you know, maybe one of the kids is a fast eater. Great. First one done. And then you say, hey, hey, Jessica, will you read the Bible today? And you get a Bible reading plan. And let's say you go through the New Testament. And so while everybody else is finishing eating, someone's reading the Bible. Now, if they don't mind just sitting a little longer, which is very possible, read the Bible afterwards. That's what we did in our life. You know, all of these things are just great opportunities for, you know, seeking to get habits in your life and making it fun. Or memorizing, maybe while you're still eating, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's all say that together. In 3-4 minutes, you can have a whole passage memorized and have fun. Maybe you get little stickers. We've used stickers. We've had fun. We had points. I know of people who have, like, said to your children, hey, we'll give you $100 US. They're in America. If you read the whole Bible in a year, and there's like a little Bible reading plan. All of these things, it'll be creative. In some ways, this is a life coach session. So here I am, a life coach minister, and I say to you, so what do you want? I actually think a beautiful life coach position would be a walk coach, someone who works with a family and helps someone get a good walk with God in their family. What a great opportunity. We have a life coach minister program. Hey, maybe some of you who really understand how to make habits fun can be life coach ministers with a specialization in walking with God. So you can talk to your pastor and say, hey, my specialization is helping people in a fun way get habits of walking with God. You know, this is one of those things where you just go deeper and deeper and have more fun with it. But there's no question about it. This won't necessarily be easy. It's simple to understand, but not necessarily easy to do. There will be walls. Get ready for spiritual attack. If your family or if you or if your wife start reading the Bible on a regular basis and praying on a regular basis, get ready for new attacks you never thought possible. Well, I guess you can take it from there. My prayer for you is this, from Romans 16, verse 20. May the God of peace, or the God of peace, will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. That's how I feel about getting a home discipleship habit, whether it's connection 1, 2, or 3. I believe that the devil is there, spiritual warfare is there to try to discourage you. But don't give up. Stay with it. God has a plan. You can do it. If you want to do it, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Get help. And if you're great at this, become a life coach minister with a specialization on disciplined walks with God. And just announce to the church, hey, this is my thing. And I'd love to schedule a time with any family to help you get that great, reproducible walk with God. You know, we live in very busy times, as J.R. Miller said, even busier than the 1800s. But that should not be an excuse for us. What really is our priority and what our priorities really are about will truly reflect what we truly want to do. If our priorities are that we like to watch TV more than walking with God, we will watch TV more than walking with God. And I can bring this up, we can even feel guilty about it, but that's the truth. If our priority is walking with God, that is our priority. Now understand, make it reproducible. It is better to have the family open the Word of God and pray for 5 to 7, 10 minutes a day than to do 1 hour long stretch every once in a while that everybody's frustrated. So understand that. It is more sustainable to, you know, open the Word in your personal life habitually 5, 10 minutes a day. It is more sustainable to journal at a certain time. If you miss it, just do it the next day. All of these are issues of home discipleship. And as a leader, what's your goal? Is to stay close to the Lord. That your dialogue with the Lord is happening on a regular basis. It's a relationship. Even when I talk about this, don't get caught up in the rules of a devotional life. Get caught up in love. Love of the Lord Jesus. The love that He has for you, how His Holy Spirit is inside of you, how you are growing and you are reaching others because you are connected to the God of the universe.